Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Tzadi Gimel. We're at the bottom of Tzadi Bet. I'm at Bet at the Mishnah. Hamotzi kikar l'shut harabim chayav hotzio shnayim pturin. So if one person takes a loaf of bread out to a reshut harabim, the public domain, then they're then he's chayav. But if two people did it, then they're both pater. Lo yechol echad lo tzio chayavin v'Rabbi Shimon poter. If one person could not by himself take out that that thing, and you need two people to do it, then they're both chayav. However, Rabbi Shimon believes that that they're both pater. Yeah, Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, V'Amri La, Amar Abaye. So some say it was Rav Yehuda and Amar Rav, some say it was Abaye. V'Amri La, V'Matnita Tana, and they said in the Braita, we tell the following, Zeyachol V'Zeyachol, Rabbi Meir Mechaye, Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Potrin. So when each one of them can do it by themselves, and they both take it out together, Rabbi Meir says you're chayv, Rehuda and Rabbi Shimon say you're pater. Ze enu yachol veze enu yachol. Neither of them can take it out by themselves. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir mechayvid. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir both say that you're chayv. Rabbi Shimon pater. Rabbi Shimon still says that you're pater. Ze yachol veze enu yachol divrei hakol chayv. But if one can do it by himself and one cannot do it by himself, everyone agrees that you'd be chayav. It does not specify, however, who is chayav. Tanya, nami hachi. So we taught a similar thing in a bright time. Motzi kigal shudarabim chayav. You take a loaf of bread of the shudarabim, you're chayav. Hotzi shnayim, rumeir mechayav, rumeir mechayav. Rabbi Huda omer, im lo yachol echad lahotzio, vehotzio shnayim, chayavin, vim lav, peturin, Rabbi Shimon poter. Right? So someone who takes out a loaf of bread will be chayav. Rabbi, if two people took it out, according to Rabbi Meir, is chayev. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if two people took it out and they could not do it by themselves, they're chayev. They could do it by themselves, they would be pater. And Rabbi Shimon says, either way, you're pater. Okay, minani mili. So how do we know? How do we know that two people doing something that one person could generally do would be pater? The Tana Rabbanan beasota hause et kula. Right, ve'lo said miktzata. When the Torah says that you're chayev for doing the malacha, it says be'asota, the one who did it, one who implying that you have to do the entirety of the malacha, not just half of the malacha. Ketzad. So, what is an example of this, or how exactly does this manifest? Shnayim shayu ochzin be'malgez ve'logzin be'charker ve'shovtin be'kumus ve'chotvin be'kanei v'otziol shudarabi yachol yu chayavin tamalom abasota. So if two people were holding a pitchfork and they were stacking, if two people were holding a stick used in arranging the strings on a weave, right? And they were doing that. Bekulmus vechotvin, right? If two people were holding a pen and writing, if two people were holding a reed that they took out into a public domain, which is the Malchaos Votza that we're talking about, the Tamalomar Ba'asota, we say that you have to do entirety of it and not just part of it. And so they would both be Pater. However, if they took out a massive fig cake, right, or alternatively a beam, and they took it to the Shutarabim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo yechol echad lahotziu v'otziu shnayim chayavin. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if one person could not have done it alone, and they im lo yachol echad lahotziyo ve'otziyo shnayim chayavin avim lav peturim. Right. So if one person could have done it on their own, if one person could have done it on their own and they both did it, it's pater. But if neither of them could have done it on their own and they did it together, then they're both chayav. Rabbi Shimon Omer afapi shelo yachol echad lahotziyo ve'otziyo shnayim peturim. According to Rabbi Shimon, even though one person could not have brought it out by himself and then said the two of them did it together, he's still pater. Like ach ne'amar basota yechid jasa chayav shnayim jasa. Pturin, right? And that is what we learn from the pasuk of Be'asota, that if one person does it, you're chayav, but if two people do it, you're pater. It doesn't make a difference whether or not he could have done it alone, he couldn't have done it alone. It says Be'asota, meaning he must do it. One person has to do all of it, two people do it, doesn't matter what the circumstance is, they're both pater. But my kamifling, okay, so what is the machloke? Meaning, do they argue over how you read that pasuk? Do they argue about what the word means? What exactly are they arguing about that one believes it'd be chayav, one believes that it'd be pater if two people who could do it by themselves did it together? Behaikra, right? So they argue over the following pasuk. V'im nefesh achat techta bishkaga me'am haaretz ba'asota. Right? The pasuk of, if one person does an avera bishogeg from amongst the nation to do that melacha. Right? That's the pasuk that they argue over exactly what it means. Rabbi Shimon Savar tlat mi'ute. Right? So Rabbi Shimon says that there are actually three mi'utim here. Three limiting words, limiting terms in this pasuk. K'tivi nefesh techta, echat techta, be'osota techta. Right? So when it says nefesh, right, that means one person is sinning, right? When it says techta, or when it says echat, it says nefesh echat. So nefesh techta, right? That's one person is sinning. Echat techta, one person sins. Basota, to do it, he sins also, right? So essentially, we have as three limiting terms. Nefesh is a limiting term because it's in the singular. Echat is a limiting term because it's in the singular. It's one person. Basota is a limiting term because it implies that one person does all of it. Right? Chad lemute zeo kefer zemaniach. Right? One of these limitations is to limit a case where one person picks up something that you're going to transfer dal amut, and the other person puts it down. Right? That you wouldn't be chayv. Chad lemute zeo yachol. Another one is to limit a case where where each one could have done the malacha independently. Pendling, they do it together. They're your potter. And one of these words is to limit a case where neither of them can do it alone, and still they do it together. Right? Three mi'utim, three cases that you're coming to limit. Which you would have assumed that you're chayev, but in these three cases, because of the three limitations, you're going to be potter. Rabbi Yehuda, chad lemute ze oker v'zemaniach. So Rabbi Yehuda says one is to limit. One who picks it up and another one who puts it down in Havara. V'chad lemute zeyachol v'zeyachol. Right? And one is to limit a case where they can both do it independently, but they do it together in spite of that. V'chad lemute yachid shasa behorad beitin. And one is to limit an individual who does something, usher on the instruction of the beitin. Rabbi Shimon yachid shasa behorad beitin chayev. And according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't need a limud for that, because he believes that if someone does something on the instruction of beitin that he's not allowed to do, he's chayev. Rabbi Meir. And so how does Rabbi Meir, who's putter in all these, who posters all these cases, explain his shita exactly. Sorry, Rabbi Meir, who's mechayev in all these cases, right? He believes you're chayev any time that two people do it, even if they both couldn't do it. So how does he arrive at that? Miktiv nefesh techta echad techta basuta techta, right? So you're not supposed to have learned a nefesh techta echat techta basota techta, right? So that's not these three things are not supposed to teach you. Each one of them is not supposed to teach you a mute. That's not what it's written. It's not written nefesh techta echat techta basota techta, right? It says nefesh achat. So the two of them are written together. Tre me'ute ktivi. Right. So really, you only are left with two mi'utim, because nefesh echat is one term, is one mute. Right. Chad lemute zeo kerev zemaniach. So one of the mi'utim is for the purposes of someone who picks it up and someone who puts it down. V'chad lemute yachid shasa behorad beitin. And the other one is to exclude an individual who does it on the instruction of a beitin, that he would also be pater. But anytime the two people do it, whether they both could do it, whether neither of them could do it, doesn't matter. You're gonna be chayev. Amar mar zeyachol v'zeyeniachol divrei akol chayev. Right? If one person can do it, and one person cannot do it, everyone agrees, you're gonna be chayev. Haminayu mechayev. Wait, which one is chayev? The one who could do it, the one who couldn't do it? Amar Rav Chisda zeyachol. Right? The one who could do it is the one who is chayev. The e zeyachenu yachol, my ka'avid. Because the one who couldn't do it alone, what exactly did he do? You got two people. One of them could fully do it alone, one of them cannot do it alone. Right? They're both involved in it. So basically, the one who couldn't do it alone, what exactly is he doing? He's lifting something up that he couldn't have lifted without the other guy, and the other guy's lifting something up that he could have lifted without the other guy. So what is the second guy even doing? Amar le Rav Nuna de kamisaya behedya. Yeah, but he's clearly helping the guy out, no? Amar le Messiah endo mamash. Someone who's just assisting something that could have been done without his help, that's not significant, that's not substantial. Amar Rav Zavid mishmei de Rava af ananami tanina. So we also have a similar teaching that it teaches you that someone who just assists something they could have done without him is not significant. Haya yoshev al gevei hamita ve'arba taliot tachat raglei hamita tmeot. Right. So if you're sitting on a bed and you have there are four legs of the bed, and a zav is then sitting on the bed, and the zav is going to make anything tame with tumat moshav by sitting on the thing. than anything supporting the weight of that bed. So basically, if the bed is supporting the weight of the zav, the bed becomes tameh. So the legs, which are supporting the bed, are also tameh. And you have begadim, you have clothing, you have talit underneath each and every one of the legs. They're all going to be tameh. Mipnei she'en yachol la'amod al shalosh, because this bed could not have stood on three legs, right? And so because the bed needs all four legs in order to support the zav, then they are all considered to be supporting the zav's weight, and so the begadim underneath the legs are all tameh, right? But in a case where you didn't need all three legs, let's say, to support the zav's weight, because then you could tell me, well, one of those legs isn't actually supporting it, because it can be supported by three. But when you need all four, then they're all supporting the zav's weight, and anything supporting the zav's weight is going to be tameh. Rabbi Shimon Matar, Rabbi Shimon holds it says it's tar. Haya rochev agabe behema, v'dalad taliyot tachad raglei behema. If you're sitting on an animal and there are four garments underneath the animal's legs, tehorot, they're all tahar. Mipnei sheyachol lamod al gimel. Because an animal could stand on three legs, in which case, they're not going to be, they're not, each and every, each of those legs is not, involved, fully in supporting the zav's weight. V'amai. But why would that be the case? Hakamasai behadeh adadeh? It's helping the other ones, right? It's clearly helping the other ones out to do it. It's still involved, just because it's not absolutely necessary. Lav mishum damrinan misaya enbo mamash. Is that not because we say that just because you're involved, it doesn't mean that you're of any, halachic significance? Am Rav Yehuda, midiskarta. So Rav Yehuda midiskarta says, leolam emel Messiah yesh b'mash. Really? No, maybe I can say that if you're just assisting, it's still significant. Vishani acha de akra la gamri. And the difference here is that when an animal lifts up its leg, it fully takes it. It can fully take it off the ground. V'kivan dezimnin akra ha, v'zimnin akra ha lehave kezav mitapech. And sometimes it lifts up the right leg, and sometimes it lifts up the other leg. So you're not sure necessarily. You have a suffix. Or let's get into the second. But it is similar to a case known as a zav hamitapech, right? So and didn't we milotnan? Didn't we learn about a zav hamitapech? Zav she'amuta al hay safsalin al hay pundaot leorkan tameim. So if a zav was sleeping on, was lying on five benches, right, or five places that he can lie down on, if he was lying lengthwise, their tameh, lerochvan tehorin. However, if he's lying, widthwise, they're gonna be tahor because no one of those benches is fully supporting him, right? So, you have to support most of the zav's weight, and if you have five benches, no one of those benches is supporting most of the zav. Yashan, safek mitapech alein tmein. But if he's lying down, leorkan, and maybe he rolled onto this bench, maybe he rolled onto that bench, you just don't know. Right, so then they're going to be tameh, because you don't know. Meaning, it could be one of those benches at one time could have been fully supporting the weight of the zav. You just don't know which one of them. So they're all going to be tameh, right? So just to make sure I was clear, because I think I didn't explain one of the stages clearly enough. Right, we wanted to try to suggest that. We wanted to try to suggest that we don't necessarily have a proof that something that is just involved is not significant in any way, right? Because we brought a proof from an animal that stands on four legs that the legs would be tahor, right? To suggest that Messiah ain't bo mamash. And the potential rejection the Rabbi Yehuda suggests is no. There is a case where the animal lifts his leg up entirely, so it may not be involved at all. It could literally lift its leg up entirely. It may not be doing anything. A bed, though, it's doing something always. It just may not be doing something all that significant. But you can't prove to me from an animal that can be lifting up a leg entirely that something that is just assisting has no significance, because this may not be assisting at all, right? And then the Gemara challenges that rejection, or challenges that challenge, by saying, Well, if that were the case, that the animal, that you can't bring a proof from the animal, that's difficult. Because the animal doesn't always lift up the same leg. Sometimes it's lifting up this leg, sometimes it's lifting up that leg. So you do not know which ones were supporting the Zav, which ones were not supporting the Zav. Now, what do we do in a case where you don't know what is and is not supporting the Zav? Well, let's look at the case of a Zav Mitapech. You don't know if one of these benches was fully supporting the Zav, because he was sleeping. He may have rolled over. But because one of them could have been fully supporting the Zav while he was sleeping, we say they're all tameh. But why would we say that they're all tameh if in the parallel case by the animal, where you don't know which leg it may have been supported, we say it's tahor? No, it must be because we don't assume that the animal is fully lifting up its leg. We say that Messiah in Bumamash, right? We say that if anything is just assisting, it is going to be tameh, and you don't have you can't reject the proof. If anything is just assisting, it's not going to be tameh. You can't reject my proof from the animal, because the animal which lifts up its legs and puts it back down, where you have a suffix as to whether which one the zav was fully leaning on or fully resting his weight on, the parallel case there would be the case of the zav mitapech, the zav who sleeps on multiple benches, which we say maybe he fully slept on one of these benches. And in that case, they are tameh. Which would mean that the animal, we should also have said tameh, but the animal, we say tahor. So we must conclude elalav. We must conclude elalav mishum damrin messiah and b'mamash. Right. So why is it that the animal's legs are considered tahor? Because they're only assisting, and assisting does not have significance in order to contract the tuma. Amarav papi mishme for tuma and for Shabbat. Amarav papi mishme de rava af anan nami tanina. So we also teach a similar idea. Rabbi Yossi Omer hasus mitame alide al yada v'chamor alide raglav. Right. So a horse is mitame through its legs, and a donkey is mitame. A horse is metame through its hind legs, and a donkey through its back legs. Sorry, the horse through its front legs, the donkey through its back legs. Shemisha'en etasus al yadav v'chamor al raglav. Because a horse leans on its front legs, and a donkey leans on its back legs. So the other ones are just considered, basically, assisting, but not actually holding the weight. V'amai, hakam esai be'adei dadei. But one second, aren't they helping it out? Lav mishum damrin mesayin b'mamash? No, is it not because we say that just because they're helping out doesn't mean it has any significance? Amar Ravashi, af ananami tanina. Ravashi says, yeah, we also say teach this. Rabbi Lezer, Omer, raglav. Raglo echad ala kliv, raglo echad ala ritzpa, raglo echad ala eved, raglo echad ala ritzpa, roin kol sheilu yinat ala kli, vitinat ala eved, yachol amod al raglo achad avorto ksheira, vim la avorto psula. A kohen must do the avoda on the floor. On the floor in the Beit HaMikdash. He must do the avodah on the floor. Nothing can be separating between him and the floor, right? So what if he's standing on a rock, right? Or he's standing on a vessel. So something is separating him. He has one leg on the floor and one leg on the vessel. It depends. Is he leaning his weight on the vessel, or is he leaning his weight on the floor? And so the vessel isn't really separating between him and the floor, because he's leaning his entire weight down on the floor. It just happens to be separating between his foot and the ground. But that wouldn't be enough to constitute a separation, because he's not leaning on it. Well, how do you tell? Well, we see it. Well, what if that rock wasn't there? Would he fall over? Right? What if that kli wasn't there? Would he fall over? If yes, then he's clearly leaning his weight on it, in which case he's being separated from the ground, and the avoda is bustle. You can't do avoda that way. But if he would not fall over, then he's clearly not leaning on that, so it doesn't serve as a chatzitza. It's not separating between him and the ground. But wait, isn't that other leg that's on the rock or on the kli at least assisting him? Is it not because we conclude that just assisting something is not significant? Ravina says, yeah, we also have a proof. Right, so the Kohen's doing the part of the avoda with his. You can only do it with the right hand. But what if you did it with the right hand and the left hand was just helping out with it? No, the avoda is kshera. Isn't the left hand helping the right hand out? No, it must be because we hold that helping out is not significant. Amar zeyachol v'zeyachol. Okay, so we have a case with each one is able to do it on his own. Rameir Mechayev. Rameir says, you're chayev. Right? So that's the question of Rabbi Meir. Do you need a shiur for each one of them to be chayev, or is one shiur enough for both of them? So, for example, right? Let's say we said you're chayev for carrying out a kegru geret, right? So if two people carry out one kegru geret, they both could have carried it out by themselves, so they should be chayev, but you only have enough food being taken out there for one person to be chayev. So can two people be chayev on the shiur that's only enough, on the minimum shiur? Or can only one person be mechayev for the minimum shiur? And if two people carried out something that was two grugerets, which they each could have carried out on their own, then you have enough for each one to be mechayev the shiur. Right? So how exactly does it work? So one says you need enough shiurim for each and every person to be chayev. One says no, one shiur is enough for everyone. Amar Papa Mishmei Rava Af Ananami Tanina. So we also teach Haya Yoshev Al Gebe Mita VeArba Taliot Tachat Arba Raglei Mita. You're sitting on a bed, and there are four garments underneath each of the four legs. Tameot, they're all tame. Mipnesha ein yachol amod al shalosh, because it could not have stood on three. Ve'amai. Libai shiur ziva laze, v'shiur ziva laze. But wait 1 second. Why would they all be tame? You should say that each and every leg needs to be holding enough of the zav in order to be tame. Okay. How much of the zav does one have to be carrying in order to be tame? Most. Rove. Most of his weight. Right? So, how can it be the case that three independent legs would all be tame? You can't say that all three of the legs are simultaneously holding the equivalent to most of the zav's weight that is independent from the weight that the other legs are carrying. The three of them together are holding most of the zav's weight, but if you divide that by three, you no longer have most of the zav's weight, and yet they are all tame. It must be shiur achad lekulam. Lav mishum damrin shiur achad lekulam. We just look at the one shiur. Is there enough here to convey tuma? You have most of the zav's weight. That is enough to convey tuma. Okay, so anything that's serving a significant purpose is going to be mekabel tuma. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak afan anami tanin. Yeah, we teach the same. Tzvi shenichnas abayit v'nal echad b'fanav chayav nalu shnayim pturin. Right, a deer walks into a house. It's not a joke. Deer walks into a house. One of them locks the door. So he's chayav. Two of them lock the door. Pater. Lo yachol echad lin ol ve not lushnayim chayavin. Right. If it takes two people to lock the door, and if it takes two people to lock the door, however, and both of them lock it together, then you're chayav. Right. If they could have done it alone, then you're pater. V'amai. But why should they be chayev? You should require an amount necessary to be chayev in each and every one of them in tzad, in trapping, right? One deer is just enough to be chayev one person in trapping. You should need two deers, right? No, lav mishum damrin and shiur achad lekulam. We look at the one shiur and we obligate everyone in their involvement for the one shiur. Amar Ravina, afan namitanin. Ravina says, yeah, we also teach that. Hashutvin sheganvu v'tavchu. So if you have partners who steal and then slaughter in animal, right? So if you steal and slaughter an animal, depending on the animal, you're chayv and dalad vehe, right? You have to pay an additional a penalty for what you stole, 4 or 5 times the amount of what you stole, depending on whether it's a sheep or it's an ox. Chayavin v'amai libai shiur tzvicha laze v'shiur tzvicha laze. Wait 1 second. Only one thing was slaughtered, right? So why are they both chayv and dalad vehe? They should why are they both chayv in the additional knas? Only one thing was slaughtered. That's only enough to mechayv one person in the additional knas. Lav mishum damrin. Shiur echad lekulam, is it not because we say that one shiur is enough for everyone to be mechayev anyone who's involved? Amar Rav Ashi af ananami tanina. Rashi says, yeah, we also teach that shnayim shotziu kane al garde chayavin. Right, so two people who take out a rod used in a weave, they're both chayev. Am I libay shiur hotzah alazeh v'shiur hotzah alazeh? Right, maybe they should both need a shiur hotzah. They just took out enough to be mechayev one of them. Lav mishum damrina shiur echad lekulam. Is it not because we say that you need one shiur enough for both of them? One shiur in total is enough for both of them. Amar l'Rabacha b'reid Ravina l'Rabashi dilma de'it be k'day levash al beit akal lezeh beit akal lezeh. Says that, you know, Ravashi, I don't really like your proof because maybe that a reed that you took out was enough of a reed to cook a small and easily cooked egg for both of them. So inachinami, yeah, you have a minimum shiur for both of them. Im kein lishmainan kana da'alma. Well, if that was the case, then you should have taught a normal reed. Why tell me davka a reed used by a weaver, right? If the concern is if the chiddush is that there was enough to cook a normal beit zakala, then just tell me that there was a normal reed and it could cook two beit zakalas, and so they should both be chayev. But the fact that you specified the type of reed was to indicate to you that it is not it's a small reed that can't be used for both of them. Maishna de gardi, right? So why would davka teach gardi? But then, how do you know we're not talking about a reed used in a weave that could have that was big enough to weave a small cloth for this guy and a small cloth for that guy? Right. So rather, from Ravina's proof, you really can't. It was Ravina. Did I make that up? Ravashi. From Ravashi's proof, you can't really conclude very. You can't conclude anything because in Achanami, it may have had a shiur chiu for both of them. Tani Tamakame de Rav Nachman Shnayim Shetziu Kana Shel Gardi, right? The teaching taught in front of Rav Nachman, two people took out a reed used for a stick used for a weave. Peturin, right? They're both potter. Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. Rabbi Shimon says they're both chayev. Klape Leah, right? But that really, that's the way you're going to teach it? Isn't the opposite a logical way to teach it? Rabbi, you want to tell me that Rabbi Shimon, who beforehand says you're potter, here says you're chayev, you don't want to tell me that Rabbi Shimon, who before told me you're gonna be chayev, who before told me you're gonna be putter, here it says you're gonna be chayev because two people are involved? I thought Rabbi Shimon was the one who's mechayev them. Ela ema chayavin. Rather, you should have taught that the Tana that was taught before of Nachman says chayev and Rabbi Shimon says putter, right? Because that's consistent with Rabbi Shimon's shita. Okay, we'll stop here at the Mishnah.